Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. May I speak to you in the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is no escaping that today's scriptures are about one, being in the weeds, and two, the end times. I feel all of us are all too familiar with the expression being in the weeds. However, so that we all are on the same page, it variously means to be in difficulty, to be struggling with someone or something. Usually in the food or beverage industry, it means to become overwhelmed and to fall behind, to be immersed or entangled in details or complexities, to be in over one's head. To be in the weeds is to be in a place of anxiety and tension, a place we impatiently would like to leave or to change. Today's gospel certainly places us in those weeds and asks the very same questions we often ask about the church and the world. Why is it that the church falls short of our expectations and is beset by cliques, politics, conflict, money problems, and hypocrisy? Why is it that we daily pray that it may be on earth as it is in heaven, yet we know that we live in a world that is beset by violence, poverty, anger, fear, selfishness, and hate? Here, the epistle and the psalm remind us that we are children of God. And as children of God, we share the faith that is in things unseen. That is, and hope we are saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. That patience is the very heart of today's gospel. Writing to his Jewish community in a time of conflict about what it meant to be a faithful believer, St. Matthew addresses the anxiousness of both his and our own time. Shouldn't we separate the wheat from the weeds? Shouldn't we divide the true believers from the false believers? Shouldn't we isolate ourselves from those who do not think, worship, or act as we do? Instead, today's gospel necessarily reminds us of our deep interconnectedness, that we are all creatures of the Creator, when it warns, in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the weeds, the wheat along with them. To put it more bluntly, when we think or act in this way, then we also burn. As God's people, deep into ordinary time, and in the hot lassitude of the Texas summer, we need this reminder that we live in the already, but not yet. That is the expectation of God's harvest time that hearkens Christ's return. Writing to an audience that was trying to understand how a Christian Rome had fallen to pagans, St. Augustine deeply understood that we are wheat among weeds. Rather than despair, he counsels that we should be good citizens of the earthly city while simultaneously being disciples of the heavenly city. We witness and strive for the kingdom of God that is the heavenly city that will only be realized in the fullness of time, but we experience the love of God, community, family, and others is mediated in this earthly city. Thus, our lives take place at the nexus of the two cities. Normally, I don't like to criticize the lectionary, but it's too bad that today's gospel leaves out the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like a small mustard seed that grows into a large tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. Not just some birds or select birds, but all the birds of the air. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Not just some of the flour, but all of the flour. That all recognize and come to God is God's deepest desire. If we recall Father Michael's exceptional sermon last week, then we remember that all of us are both good and bad soil, but are all implanted with the seed of the incarnate word. So lest we fall into the temptation that the weeds are always them and the wheat is always us, we should heed these kingdom teachings. Note that at the time of the harvest and judgment, the gospel says the Son of Man will send his angels and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin. Thus, it is not just the weeds that get burned, but all those things that distort our relationship with God, with others, and even within ourselves. Ultimately, we are refined by the fire of the Holy Spirit and made worthy to stand before God. As St. Paul says, we suffer with Christ so that we may also be glorified with him. Our own impatience with the impurity as well as imperfections of both the church and the world in limited chronological time is met with God's boundless grace as well as mercy in eternal time. Thus, it is not surprising that God's nature means that God waits to the very end to perfect both the church and creation. As the psalmist says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and full of kindness and truth. It is indeed good news for us that God has compassion on our weakness and mercifully gives us the time to grow into the stature and love of Christ when our own spiritual and material blindness keeps us from seeing and hearing that very promise. Certainly, St. Paul deeply understood our groaning, yearning desire that the blemishes of impurity and imperfection be blotted from our lives. So as the heirs of resurrection hope and God's redeemed children, should we just wait for Jesus to come back and fix everything for us? No, that would be a severe misreading and misapplication of the gospel. We are to be witnesses to the fact that God's kingdom breaks into and indwells within this world. The kingdom was proclaimed by Christ, is now enacted by Christ's church, and will be completed in the fullness of time. We are neither to fear the world nor to fret about the end times, because in hope we are saved. And paraphrasing the psalmist, great is your love towards us. You have delivered us from the nethermost pit. Rather, our faith in Christ enables us to be agents of God's kingdom. Loving God and receiving God's love empowers us to love our neighbors as ourselves and as Christ loved us as a way of life. In our daily lives, we should advocate and use the power of our positions to support God's kingdom that seeks to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly before God via initiatives that care for the orphan, the widow, the stranger, the alien, the impoverished, and then also relentlessly seek peace. This means being good citizens of the human city as well as disciples of the way, the truth, and the life. As kingdom builders, we should create political, economic, and social arrangements that can turn people's self-interest and harness people's power to the concerns of the creation as well as their fellow creatures' spiritual and material well-being. As redeemed people, we are to bear the first fruits of the Spirit, so that all of creation may be redeemed and sanctified. As God's children, we are to be rooted in the garden of creation, joined to the body of Christ that is the church, and to manifest the fruits of God's kingdom in those places. Galatians tells us that this fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits of the Spirit must be our everyday mission and our daily vocation, because the world clearly, desperately needs those virtues. Moreover, we need to be unafraid to tell people that we do these things because of our faith in Christ, our love of God, and our care as well as regard for the lives and souls of others. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Amen.